For a place this morning, for a New Year sermon, if I have one, is in Philippians chapter 3. Now, Philippians is a wonderful book, and the Apostle Paul loved this church. This is, I think, one of the, what we used to call the prison epistles, written I think it was written from Rome. It said it was written to the Philippians from Rome by Epaphroditus. Maybe I didn't even say that word right. But this is a prison epistle, and the Apostle Paul is writing to this church and sending it by, I think, this, he speaks of this guy, Epaphroditus. I think that's the way you say that, Brother Keith. He, was, I think, was the pastor of this church. Anyway, we're going to begin in chapter 3, and the Apostle Paul, he says, finally. When we look at the things that the Apostle is going to write here in these verses, in these chapters, I want to just, I'd like to just read the whole chapter, but I don't know if we will, but I want to begin reading at least in verse 1 and read down through maybe verse 18 or 19. But just follow me along in your scriptures. You know, when we're reading, this is thus saith the Lord. When I'm speaking to you, it perhaps may have errors in it. But this doesn't have any. It says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you, it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. For we are of the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof that he may trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, I persecuted the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless, but what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. I'm going to skip the parentheses for right now. Whose end, 20, verse 20. Okay, now I'm going to go back and get the parentheses, but it's a break of the thought. So we're going to read verse 17 through 20. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have also for an example. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior and the Lord Jesus, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Man, that is a wonderful reading. But notice, as he says, brethren, we'll get verse 17, then we're going to go back and get some of these other things. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as ye have us for an example. Now, he puts this in to explain that. For many walk. Now, he's talking about walking or following after Jesus Christ and the doctrine, okay? He says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Now, he put that in there as a comparison to that which we should go, and these other people are walking contrary to that. Now, I don't know really where to start on this, but there's some definitions that I'd like for us to pick up on. Now, first of all, the apostle warns this church. He said, beware of dogs. Now, when he's talking about dogs, he's not talking about these four-legged jobs. Okay. When he's talking about dogs, he's talking about these people that, and really, these, Gentiles perhaps were called dogs by the Jews. He said, beware of dogs, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. The word concision there is simply the circumcision. Beware of these people, as he has told us here in these verse 18, there are these people that would draw you away from the truth. They're evil workers, they're enemies of the gospel. They are perverters of the truth. And he says their end is destruction. Their God is not the God. Their God is their belly. And I'm not talking about this specific big thing here. I'm talking about their appetite, the things that they go after, the things that they crave, the things that draw. I mean, and we need to be careful that we don't become like that. And they said, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Now then, when we're going to look at this from a standpoint of what the apostle, he said at one time, he said, I was just like them people. I was just like them. I was an enemy of God. I was an enemy of the cross. I thought that killing people and throwing people in prison and doing all these things, I thought I was just doing the will of God. Is there anybody in the world today that does these evil things, that claim to do these things in the name of God? These things are nothing new. They were doing it then. And the apostle Paul, when before this happened, and he's going to bring this to your mind, for we are of the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. But at one time, Brother Keith, he's going to bring this down through here. At one time, he had a lot of confidence in the flesh. He was one, and when we talk about confidence in the flesh, we're talking about my abilities to do things, to keep the law. And that's why he brings up we could call it his pedigree. He brings up the things he said. You think, you know, these people, they're bragging about how good they are and how much they, and it reminds me of the parable that Jesus gave of the two men that went up to the temple to pray. You remember the story? There was two men that went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and one was a publican. And the Pharisee, he came and he prayed, and it says he prayed with himself. He says, "Lord, I'm glad that I've done all of these things, and I give all of my tithes, and I do all these wonderful things for you." And it's kind of like he's bragging on himself to the Lord, trying to acquaint God with his good works, you see, and not knowing or not realizing, being ignorant of the fact that God knows everything about him. But he says, "And God, I'm just so thankful that I'm not like this poor publican here, who's, and they were considered second class citizens. They were considered really, really dogs. And these the publicans especially, they were Jews who were really working for the Romans, and collecting taxes. By the way, Jesus chose one of them for his apostle.
Amen.
You see, but the apostle here, he's going to acquaint, he says, "I want, if you think you've got something to brag about, let me tell you what I was here." Okay. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was of the stock of Israel. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I mean, you're talking about Hebrews. I was a Hebrew of all Hebrews. And I was a Pharisee, touching the law. I was a Pharisee. The Pharisees were the highest, strictest sect of the Jews. They thought that everything that they did was just, and they said they'd put on these things and they'd walk out, you know, into the public and they'd stand there and they'd brag about this and they'd brag about that. And it was just kind of like, "Lord, you're just such a blessed God to have me as one of your followers. You know, I am so righteous. And he goes on here bragging about this. He said, "Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church." You know, that's really high up there, you know. The apostle Paul, and I bring you up to date on this. You go over there to Romans, Acts chapter 9 and Acts 16 and Acts 26. He tells us about his experience as he was on the road to Damascus. Walking along, and he had gone down to the high priest, and he says, "There's these people down here that are worshiping this man called Jesus, and saying that he's the king and all that stuff. That is blasphemy, and I want you to give me authorization to go down there and to throw them people in prison. And if they resist me, I'll put them to death." He did that to one of God's servants called Stephen. He said that he actually gave permission, and they laid their coats, the ones that was stoning Stephen to death, they laid their coats at the feet of this great man called Saul. Now, I want to go back just right quickly, Brother Keith, and give you just a little flavor of what the Apostle Paul was doing. In Acts chapter 9, now I want you to notice what it says. "And Saul," this is the same one we're talking about here in Philippians, "and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings," this is Acts chapter 9, verse 1, "breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went up to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women," it didn't make him any difference if you're a woman or a man, if you're worshiping this man called Jesus, he said, "that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." What's he going to do with them? "We're going to put them on trial. And we're going to put them in prison. And maybe if they don't recant," he said, now notice he said, "and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there was a shining light around about him, a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Now, I want you to understand that Jesus is already resurrected and at the right hand of God, sitting on his throne. Okay? Now, how in the world could this apostle Paul be doing any harm to Jesus? He said, "Why are you persecuting me?" Persecuting you? You see, Jesus takes it personal, Brother Keith, when you are persecuting and doing despite to his church. You see, Paul wasn't doing anything to Jesus. He was already right hand. I mean, he's glorified in heaven. But he was persecuting his people, his church, his children. And that's why he said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Well, who are you, Lord? Who are you anyway?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Now, the prick there in the under consideration is a sharp stick. It's called a goad. And back then, you had to, these old oxen, they wouldn't work. They wouldn't do what you wanted to them. You had a sharp stick and you stick them. And they'd kick. And they'd kick. And the Lord said, "Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, isn't it?" Well, it's hard for you to resist the power under which you have just been struck to the ground. It's hard. You think you're something, Paul? He wasn't Paul then, he was Saul. He said, "You think you're something? Paul, can you see anything now?" You see, it said he heard a voice that talked to him. And there was a man there. It says the people that was there, he had a company walking along with him. And the people that were, they heard a voice, but they didn't see anybody. But Paul saw him. And he says, "Lord, what will you have me do?" He says, "Arise. Arise and go into Damascus, and I will tell you, there's a man there called Ananias who will tell you what you shall do." He said, "You go down to a street called Straight." Isn't that neat? A street called Straight. Paul, you need to straighten your life out. And this man is going to tell you. He goes down there and the Lord's already been there and talked to him. And here Paul walks in. But you see, when Ananias wasn't, he wasn't all that up to talking to Paul. He wasn't all that excited about it. He said, "Lord, what do you mean? That man's the one who kills people like me. He throws people in jail. He kills people." And he says, "Don't worry about it. He is a servant of mine." He once was serving the law. He once was serving himself. He once was serving his own God, but I got his attention. You think God can get somebody's attention? And when you think that you got it all figured out, the Apostle Paul, he said, and Ananias, he goes in there and Paul's praying. Behold, it says he prayeth. Behold, he prayeth. I don't know if Paul ever really prayed or not before. I mean, there's no record of it. He may have prayed to himself or whatever. You know, there is people that pray, but most of the time, I mean, I believe there are people over here that can pray having no idea about who they're praying to. You know, the natural man will worship something. He is a creature that he will worship something, even if it's his own self, you see. And Paul's God was himself. He said, "Brother Saul." I mean, here is this man, Joe, that had been killing people, and this preacher now, he lays his hand on Paul's head, gentle little Saul now. God has tamed this lion. God has taken the fight out of him. And Ananias says, "Receive your sight, Paul. Receive your sight." But until that point, he was blind. He could not even, I mean, they had to take him by the hand and lead him. All right. Now then, this is what Paul's talking about here. He said, "You remember what? I used to do this stuff. I used to do all that stuff. I thought I was doing God's will." He says, but the things, verse 7 of back in Philippians 3, "But the things which were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. The things that I used to love, I now hate. And the things that I used to hate, I now love them." What a, and this is what you call conversion. The Apostle Paul was struck down on the road. I mean, the light was brighter than the sun. It was the light of the glory of God that shone round about him. So bright. Don't try this, but just go on a sunny day. And by the way, it was noon. It was the brightest of all. And just look into the sun for about, don't do it, but it'll burn the retinas in your eyes. This light that Paul saw was brighter than that. And it blinded him. Literally blinded him. Now then, he said, yea, verse 8, I'm going to read a little bit more now. Yea, doubtless, and count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. I think we all know what dung is. He said, I count them as nothing. Dung. I count them as nothing. The things that I used to love, they're just nothing anymore. And I have suffered the loss of all things. And I believe, I want you to understand that the Apostle Paul was at one time, a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a tribe of Benjamin. He was an uppity, wonderful, high up person. Now then, the people that he used to persecute, he is now one of them. He said, I have suffered the loss of all things. And when he says all things, Brother Keith, he means all things. Everything he had, he gave it all up to just follow this man, Jesus. Now notice he said that I may win Christ. Now I want to talk about that little word win right there. By the way, It's in the New Testament one time right here. The word W-I-N. Now, the apostle Peter uses the past tense of that as one, W-O-N, in his writings. And he talks about the wives. He said, you wives, walk in according to the ways of the word of God and do the things that the scriptures teach, because you might have an unbelieving husband, that if he's an unbeliever, he can be won, W-O-N, by your conversation and your good walk. So you can win your husband, your wife, to the Lord. Win Christ. The word win there, Brother Keith, if we look at the word, he says, the things that I counted lost, the things that I counted as gain, verse 7, what things were gained to me, those I now count as lost. The word gain, and the word win are synonyms. I looked these up and you say, well, Brother Allen, it's only in the Bible this one time. Yes, but the Greek word is in there a lot of times. The word win and the word gain in verse 7 are the same thing. So we could say the things that I used to think were winners to me, I'm now losing. We have win and loss. Gain and lose. See, he says all things, and he said, I count all things as dung that I may gain. I could substitute, you know, when you got synonyms, sometimes you can just substitute the word right in. The word means I could win or I could gain Christ. I could gain him and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of the righteousness of Christ, which is of God by faith. Now, the reason I kept this book up here, that I didn't think about this song until we selected it. But this song, number 232, you remember we sang? It said, no more my God. This is Paul. In this, no more, my God, I boast no more of all the duties I have done. I quit the hopes I held before and trust the merits of thy Son. Philippians 3. Now, for the love I bear his name, what was my gain? You see the word? Right out of this scripture. What was my gain? I count my loss. My former pride I call my shame, and nail my glory to his cross. Yes, and I must and I will esteem all things but loss for Jesus' sake. Oh, my soul, be found in him and of his righteousness partake. You see, we look at the word righteous, that means doing right, following after things that are right. But we know what the scriptures teach about righteousness, which is not of Jesus. He said all of the righteousness of the natural man, he said all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So what was Paul's righteousness? They were of the law. They were doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that and don't do this and don't do that. And he was under the power of the law, and he was thinking that the things that he was doing was righteous stuff. But they were dumb. That's what he said. And notice this last verse. The best obedience of my hands does not appear before thy throne. But faith can answer my demands by pleading, not what I've done, but what the Lord has done. Amen. The Lord's done. Now, I want you to see this word. There's some other words, Brother Keith, we need to get the handle on right quick. Now I want to look at verse 12. I'm running way out of time. Now let's look at verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the righteousness, the resurrection of the dead. Now the apostle Paul in this chapter, in verse 10, he says, I want to know him. I want to know him. Does that mean that Paul now wants to know him as his Lord and Savior? He knew him as Lord and Savior, Brother Keith, way back there on the road to Damascus. This is a long time ago. But he says, I want to know him. I want to know more about him. I want to be able to understand what it really means to have a resurrection. Do you understand? Can you tell me how that somebody that's been in the grave 10,000 years or ever how long it is can come out? That's what he wants to understand. He wants to be able to get the gist of this. Have you got there yet? Have you arrived at this point? The apostle Paul, he says, if by any means I might attain, the word attain there means to gain it, to grab it, to hold it, to bring it to me. I want it to be mine. I want it to be a part of my body, my being. I want this to be so personal to me. And he says, that I may apprehend for which I also am apprehended. I want to take a moment to talk about the word apprehend. What does that mean? Apprehend. This man robbed this store down here, and he ran out of there, and they didn't apprehend him. But later on, the police got after him down there, and they apprehended him. What does that mean? They arrested him. They captured him. They brought him in. And the word apprehend also means, and I think both is used here, the word apprehend means also to have a understanding of it. I didn't apprehend that. That means I didn't get it. I didn't quite get that. I didn't understand it. Now notice what the apostle Paul says. Brother Keith, I want you to see what he's talking about here. He says, that I may apprehend for that which I also am apprehended. I want to be able to understand how that Christ apprehended me. The word apprehend, one of the things, Brother Keith, one of the definitions is arrest. Did you understand that Jesus arrested Paul? That he stopped him cold. He stopped him in his track. And the apostle Paul said, I want to understand. I want to apprehend how God apprehended me. How that I at one time hated this stuff and now then I love it. This is really strange that I would start loving something that I once hated and gather people that I used to throw in prison and hug them to my bosom and call them my brother. I want to apprehend how God apprehended me. I want to understand how he did it. Do you understand how he changes the dead sinner to a lover of God? Can you apprehend that? The apostle said, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it. I don't understand it. I don't get it quite yet. But this one thing I do. And notice he said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I don't think when he says forgetting those things behind, I don't think he means to forget your mother and your daddy and forget all the things that you had as a child and all the good memories. I have a lot of wonderful memories that I don't want to forget those. But brethren, there's some things I need to forget. There's some things that I need to let go of. There's some things that I need to quit holding to. And the Apostle Paul, I believe Brother Keith had thorn in his side. He said there was a messenger of Satan given to me. And I believe that he cried to forget the holding of the coats of them that stoned Stephen and how it must have bothered him so badly. He said, I'm trying to forget that. And that's the thing. See, those are the things that you counted as your own righteousness. Put them back. Forget them. Leave them behind. And press over yonder. You see, it's like, we're running a race. This is what this means. He said, pressing toward the mark. I used to run track when I was a kid. There was a finish line out there. There was a line stretched across, or there may have been a line in the street or whatever it was. There's a mark out there that I kept trying to get out to. I kept trying to reach it. And I was pressing toward that mark. And he says, he that puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. You know, brother John, if you ever plowed, all you gotta do is keep your mind, my daddy said, just go to that fence post over there. You just keep your eye on that target and keep that wheel in that furrow, and this thing will do it all the work. Just keep the eye on the target. But you look back, you know, and I've tried this. You look back and you can find exactly where you look back because it's going to be a crooked spot. Don't look back on those things that you failed in. You know, we can look back into 2015, Brother Keith, and we can say, oh, I wish I could have done that better. I messed up so many times when the Lord says, they're under the blood. We don't need to keep bringing them back up. You see, we don't need to keep bringing all those things back up. We fail, confess it as sin, and press toward that mark. Press toward the mark. Now I got just a few minutes. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and begin in the middle of the chapter, of course. The apostle says, for though I be free from all men, I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If y'all want to go there, I'm in verse 19. This is, Paul's going to illustrate what it means to win. To win. Do you want to win? You know, when I'm playing these games with my sweet little granddaughter, and she said, Papa, I don't play to lose. I pray to win. The apostle wanted to win. Now notice, I'm going to read to you some verses. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. That word gain there, Brother Keith, is the same Greek word as win. So I could say this. I said, I made myself servant unto all that I might win the more. And unto the Jews, I became as a Jew The apostle said, I became all things to all men. For why? Why are you doing that, Paul? Because I want to win you. Did you think you can win somebody to Jesus? See, this is what he wants. This is the purpose of the gospel. Not to bring them from death unto sin, but to bring them to a place where they can press forward and walk in the right path. If they're walking in the wrong way, we need to turn them around. We need to give them some instruction and put them back on the right way and the right track. That's why the apostle, he said, for this purpose have I raised thee up. He gave this illustration. He said to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. This is the purpose of God calling him. You see. Now then, he says, to them that are under the law, as under the law. I want to be wherever you are. We're going to find a common ground here. You may be a newborn Christian. You may not even understand ABCs. Well, I'm going to become as a kindergarten. I'm going to go back to the basics for you. I'm going to do all I can to bring you to Jesus, that I might gain them which are under the law. Now notice verse 21. To them which are without law, as though without law, and he puts the parentheses in there, and I'm going to skip it, that I might gain them that are without law. The word gain is win. Just keep putting that in there. The apostle Paul said, I want to win Christ. I want to gain him. To the weak, I was weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things unto all men that I might. Now, notice this word, Brother Keith. Not win here, but it means the same thing. That I might save some. That I might gain you. That I might win you. That I might bring you from there to here and put you on the right path. Now notice he says, that I might save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. We're partakers together, he says. Know ye not that they... Now here's the reason I went to this. We're running in a race. We're in... And we're to keep our mind and our eyes on the target. He said, I press toward that mark. What is it? What is it that you want, Paul? What is it that you're trying to achieve? I want to be found in him. I want to be conformed to his death. I want to be able to understand, comprehend his sufferings. I want to be able to understand how they killed him. I want to understand that he died for my sins. And now then, I am to die to the world. That's what he's talking about. Know ye not, verse 24, that they which run in a race run all but one receiveth the prize. You know, I came in third in county. I never did win first place. But you know what? I finished the race. I didn't quit. I could watch it. Brother John, that's how they're smalling out all over the place. They just couldn't make it. But you see, in a race, you've got to pace yourself. You can't, when some of these guys start passing you, you can't speed up and try to catch them. You just keep going, plugging along, going along. I was taught this, Brother Keith. We had to run in sand. That's how we trained. He says, you pace yourself. And when them guys start passing you, don't you start running after them. You just keep your eye on that target over there. And brother, these people that pass me up, brother, poor Lama is going on the road. their tongue hanging out because they used up all their energy. And they wasn't able to finish. You know, Jesus uses this illustration, Sister Jo. He said, they that are going to build a house, if you're going to build a house, you need to sit down and count the cost, whether or not you're able to finish the building. You know, one of the most unsightly things there is to go through a nice neighborhood and see a house that's just sitting there. It's been there unfinished for several days, several months. They
They started well, but they didn't end well. See, we're supposed to pace ourselves. We're in a race. And he says, know ye not that they which run in a race, all but one receive the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery, what's that? The goal. I want to reach the goal. I want to reach that I don't believe we'll ever get there in this life. But you see, we're always reaching for it. Don't ever give the excuse, well, we can't be perfect. Oh, the Lord told us to be perfect. That's our goal. We are to reach toward the perfection, to keep on going. And that tomorrow, you're going to look back and say, well, I sure messed up yesterday. But you know what? I asked the Lord to forgive me. And I'm going to try again today. I'm going to do better today. That's what I always want, Brother Keith, is to be able to do better today than I did yesterday. And that's what the apostle said. He said, I ain't made it yet. I'm not perfect. I ain't got there yet. But he said, I'm not quitting either. I'm still running. And that's what he says now. Now they're running. These people that are in these earthly races, and it's really like in the Olympic Games. That's what really it is. They're looking for the prize, and the prize they want is the crown. Back when I was in the Army, I wanted to please my sergeants. I wanted to do the best I could, and so that I wouldn't get in trouble. I didn't always attain to that. But you know, after there is things that happen to you that teach you not to do that again. You know what I mean? When they're out here on the firing range, I wanted to shoot expert. I wanted to hit the target every time. But you think I did? No. Hit it sometimes. I hit it enough to qualify. I actually shot sharpshooter instead of expert. But notice this. And the reason I mentioned that, these people are running to receive a corruptible crown. I had some medals on my shirt and stuff, and you wear that out when you're wearing your Sunday stuff. When you have your dresses on, you know, you put all your medals out here, and so you can kind of see this. And I also qualified expert, by the way, with a bayonet. And I had that little crown. It's a gold leaf, and they put it on their head, see, and they wear it around and they strut around. They even take a victory lap, you know. They're doing this to obtain a corruptible crown. But ours is not. We're not reaching for something material. We're not reaching unto something that we can put on our vest. The flesh is nothing. And that's what he said. The things that I counted as my fleshly thing, I count as dung. But I want to reach, I want a crown. And that crown is the crown of the glory of God. The crown that I can have my Father at the end of the day, Brother Keith, say, good job, son. Good job. Well done, my good and faithful servant. The worst thing that can happen to you is to say, you despicable, you slothful servant. We don't want that, do we? But what if we get it? What if the Lord says to us one time, you lazy bum? We need to be convicted sometimes. We need somebody to tell us we're on the wrong road so that we can get back on the right path. And when we get on there, then we need to win somebody else. You see, this is what the Paul's saying. He said, I want to win my fellow laborers. Therefore, he said, so I run. Not as uncertain, certainly, so fight I. Not as one that beateth the air. You ever shadow box? He said, I'm not shadow boxing. I'm not beating the air here. And sometimes, you know, the preachers, they get up here and that's all they do is beat the air. And when a preacher does that, God's not going to say, good job, son.
Now notice this. This is, I'm closing. He said, I keep my body. I keep my body. And I bring it under subjection. Lest by any means, when I preach to others, I become a castaway. You know, that was, I believe, was Apostle Paul's greatest fear. That he might go back. That he might give up. They beat the tar out of that man. They beat him so many times. And in this chapter, he says, in this chapter in Philippians, he says, don't you worry, and read in Ephesians, don't you worry about my stripes. He said, I count those as my trophies. Those are my trophies. I count it a privilege. Every stripe that I have for the sake of Christ. He said, I bring my body. I keep my body. You know, we are responsible to say no to some things.
Amen.
We're responsible to keep our body in subjection. The apostle in Romans chapter 12, he said, I beseech you therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may know what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. That's why he said, I bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, become a castaway. Some of the worst thing that can happen to a preacher is to be publicly exposed for sin. To bring dishonor to the glorious name of our Master. That's what Paul... And when we see somebody that's not like us, when we see somebody that's over here walking in the wrong way, don't judge him. Tell him what you've got. Win him to Jesus. Bring him forth. Give him something to hope for. Brothers and sisters, there we have the greatest blessing. It's more precious than all the silver and gold in the world. And that is to believe that Jesus is my Savior. And one of these days, I'm pressing toward that mark over there. And the last verse of that chapter, Brother Keith, he says, our conversation is in heaven. That means that literally means our citizenship. We are a citizen. We're in a foreign country. We're aliens here in this world. And our homeland is over there. And oh, how I want to go one day. Did you ever think about just going home? That is the most wholesome word, home. And that's what one day, Sister Jo, we're all going home. We're going to be free from all these pains, all this sickness, all this stuff. We don't ever have to go to the doctor anymore. We never have to take any more drugs. We're pressing toward that mark.